Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not my power, but by my spirit. In other words, not by the physical might that we possess with our muscles and our ingenuity, not by the resources that we possess by our armies and our industry, but by His Spirit. By His Spirit. If you would, just go with me to Isaiah 30, because that was kind of our jumping off point. That was the pastor's jumping off point the other day. And there's just a tremendous amount of truth that is released in this section here, in Isaiah 30. And there's so much that's going on, and I just want to just cover a few things that we were talked about the other day. We'll just kind of see how it goes, where it goes. But verse 26 of Isaiah 30 simply says, "And the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days. On the day the Lord binds up the fracture of His people and heals the bruise of His afflicted." In effect, He's already speaking to them that there will be a day that I restore everything. There'll be a day, there's a day coming with the restoration. They haven't even gone into bondage yet at this moment, but He's already speaking of the day of restoration that's about to happen. And that restoration is going to be released, and He's wanting them to anticipate it, because when you anticipate a thing, you can bring it. When you anticipate a thing, you can have faith for it, and you can allow it to come into your life. It would be something that releases into your life. And He was speaking and then said, because see, this is verse caught my eye for two reasons. One, because we've been talking about the Omega Zone. But as for two, because it's been a prayer of mine for probably a month now, over a month now, of just, Lord, basically from John 5, where John 5, he's looking and he's saying, Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Church, I want to be healed. I want to be whole in my heart, whole in my soul, whole in my body, whole in my spirit. I want to be whole in every part of me, because that is the way." But see, as I began to pray that, as I've been praying that over the last several weeks, there's something that changed and shifted, and it wasn't just about me anymore, it was about this body. It became about, not only do I want to be whole, I want all of us corporately to be whole. And so I believe that was part of, and that was one of the things that I was sharing with LaRue, is that this thing that he was experiencing, where to learn and see about the entanglement, was basically part of that becoming whole. Because see, when we get our soul tied up into something that it's not supposed to be tied up into, that represents something that's less than wholeness. It's less than the total where we should be. See, because he was looking, and we've been talking about the Omega Zone, that end is basically being with Christ, both at the beginning, in the middle, right where we are today, and at the end. And see, when he invites us to be with him, he's not just speaking to us, and that's something that we need to understand, is that he can speak to us and release from any of those places, from the Alpha all the way through to the Omega. He can release to us in any of those moments. He can come and connect with us in any of those moments. And I've always understood since the very beginning of my journey that he could come and walk into somebody's life and bring healing to an event that happened when they were very young, and it was like it was happening today. And he could actually change. I've actually seen him in certain people's lives change everything about their personality, even based on that healing, as if it had always been there. He basically opened up a file drawer. They actually spoke about it. He opened up a file drawer, and these files came up, and they started flipping, and they went into a new order. Went back in there, the blood covered them, and the door was sealed. So he can do that. So I've always understood he could be at the beginning. But see, now he's telling us he can also speak to us from the end. And when he speaks to us from the end, that brings a certain power and authority that we didn't have before. That brings a certain revelation and understanding that we couldn't have had before. That brings an ability to step into things that couldn't be seen before. Think about this. What if the moment you met someone, you could see who they were and how that relationship was going to be throughout all the end? In an instant. Think how that changes what you do. Think how that changes how you respond and react. There's also another part of this. When we're living from the place of the Omega Zone, there comes a responsibility with that. Because, see, not always what we see is going to be wonderful. Now, it'll help us to avoid some trouble spots. Absolutely. There's been a few people that I could walk up to, and within a few seconds, I could see, this one's crazy. It's time to move away. Unfortunately, for some other people I know, they didn't know to move away, and they kept getting affected by the crazy. But see, if you can see that, but there comes a responsibility, because remember, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Jesus met Judas, and he instantly knew who Judas was and what Judas was going to do, but he still drew him close. Why? Because he was dealing out of the realm of the Father's love. Because he was relating to him out of the Father's love. He was relating to him out of the Father's plan for both Judas's life and his life. He was relating to him in a way that didn't have anything to do with Judas's heart towards him. That's the responsibility. See, Jesus moves in all those ways, and that's why it's necessary for us, if we're going to work out of the Omega Zone, if we're going to have this tremendous light coming into our life, when we have this tremendous light coming into our life, then we have to also have the Father's love. We have to stand in the place and the agreement and honor what Father is doing in their life. Because when we see that, now we can release into them a whole new way. We can release into them the hope, the possibility, the strength, whatever it's going to take for them to get from point A to point B that we're seeing, or to point Z that we're seeing. See, you can now become an effective encourager. An effective uplifter. So, with all this, we've seen, I'm just giving that as a background because we can begin to see some of the power of looking in to this light. Having the dominion. One of the things that Rue brought out in our discussion was that he sees it as 7 days of dominion. 7 days of dominion. To have this dominion with us, to have this dominion, it's a great place of authority and release that can happen. What can you do if you saw 7 days ahead, 7 weeks ahead, 7 years ahead? What can you do? I mean, we know what Joseph did, changed a nation, two nations actually, with that ability to see ahead. We have this tremendous authority that is possible. This dominion that's possible. This light that is now being shown that not only shows us where we've been and begins to put it in proper order so we can be healed, but it also begins to show us where we're going so that we're making the right steps in the right direction. So, armed with that thought, then the Rue goes into the prayer closet. So, we have somebody who's seeking after God, and we have somebody who's looking to go into a prayer closet, and he's looking to pursue that. What could go wrong? And all of it is basically what he was speaking about when he was coming in, and he was getting intertwined with the things up here. When he was showing us this demonstration, he was getting intertwined with the message and the carrying of the message. What was happening, there was an involvement of his soul where only spirit should be going. So with that, that's the background. Let's jump over to 1 Chronicles. The same story that he shared is just coming out of a different place. This is the story that LaRue began to relate to us. We're coming out of a 1 Corinthians version of it because there's a few things I want you to see here. But what happens is that David decides to bring the ark back and bring it and set it up in a home, in a house, to begin to house it there in Jerusalem. 13 verse 1 says, David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds and even every leader. And then, 1 Chronicles 13 verse 1, then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, even with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it's from the Lord our God, let us send to everywhere our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also the priests and Levites who were with them in their cities and pasture lands, that they may meet with us and let us bring back the ark. What a wonderful intention. What a wonderful desire and design. What a tragic way to start an endeavor with God. Because look who he's consulting. He's consulting the captains and the leaders. He's consulting all the people of Israel. But guess who he didn't consult? God. He never consulted the Father. What happens a lot of times is we get involved, we start running at something, but we forget to ask God. We forget to say, hey, Father, I know you want this, but how do you want me to do this? Because he's got a how as much as a way and a where. When he's releasing to us, we need to stay, keep ourselves stationary just long enough that we can hear the whole instruction. Because when we hear the whole instruction, it allows us to walk in the wholeness, which allows us to get to the fulfillment of it. But see, the very first thing right here, as they ran off and they start carrying off the ark, and they do like the Philistines did, and they throw the ark on a brand new cart. There was nothing ever instructed about carrying the ark on the cart. The instruction was, don't carry the ark on a cart. The ark had four rings on its corners. Every corner had a ring, and then a staff would go through that ring, a long rod and staff, and then they would pick it up, and it was to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. It was to be carried on not only just a Levite, not just a Levite, but a Kohathite, a specific tribe out of the Levites. There was a reason for that. God has set an order to all of it. But they ignored all that. And so we know the tragedy that happened was that because they didn't follow God's instruction in his way, in his plan, his order for it, now what happens was that Uzzah reaches out and says, I want to study the ark. He responds. See, Ruzah is a type of the soul, a type of the soul getting involved. He says, I got to study the ark. I got to study the ark. And so I see this thing happening, and let me study the ark. And we know he died just like that. Instantly. Why? Because your soul, there are certain places when you start approaching the Holy of Holies, when you're walking into the Holy of Holies, when you're coming into the holiness of God, there are certain things where our flesh and our soul cannot go. They don't belong there. It doesn't have any dominion there. The only thing that's going to have dominion there is the Spirit of God, the Spirit that He planted within you. And that Spirit will begin to take charge and be able to do and respond to what God has asked you to respond to. But if we entwine our soul in it, there's going to be something that has to die. Our soul is going to have to die. When our soul is running and it's doing something unchecked, it's preventing us from achieving the goal that God has set out for us. It's preventing us from achieving the very thing that we're after. And sometimes it's very easy to let those things happen in our spirit because we get so caught up in the moment. Or other times maybe you shy away. You know, your spirit is supposed to be doing this, but you shy away to an old routine. See, instead of telling on him, let me tell on me. Okay, let me tell on me because, see, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, the service went really well for lots of people, but inside I knew that I missed it. I missed what God was saying to do. Why? Because I fell back into an old mode in a routine. And so instead of finding the fullness of what God was, there was a limitation that came into the service. Why? Because the limitation came from my heart instead of what God was doing in the service. Because why? The soul got involved. And the soul went back to the old way of doing it rather than embracing whatever could happen. Because see, whatever was going to happen, I'm not even 100% sure, but I know where it was supposed to head, and it didn't get a chance to head there. See, God has a way and a method to doing everything, but it requires for us to let it go. Remember what had happened then on the second time when they actually brought it in. They brought the ark in on the shoulders of the men. Well, see, that then when they brought the ark, then they began to sacrifice. Every six steps they would sacrifice. They would stop and sacrifice. When the sacrifice was complete, six more steps. I think it's six. And sacrifice. You don't go very far in the natural but you're going somewhere in the Spirit. It's not always about how far we're traveling in the natural. It's what are we accomplishing in the Spirit? Because there's going to be much more accomplished by the Spirit than ever can be accomplished by the natural. God can do more in a day. He can do more in a moment than you can achieve in a lifetime without Him. Why was it so important? Why was it so important to carry it on the shoulders? Because it was another type and a shadow. Because, see, the government of God was coming on the shoulders. That ark represented the government of God. It represented all that could be seen and known about God in that moment. Because in that ark, there was the Ten Commandments, which was the law of the Lord, which was an indication of who He really is. And in that ark was also the almond blossoms. The almond blossoms, which represented God's choice and His life. Because He made something that was dead bloom. Something that was dead come alive. It also represented, because the manna was in there, it also represented God's provision. So everything that needed to be known about who Father was carried in that ark. And it was a demonstration and a testimony. And if they began to carry it in the wrong way, if they began to be casual with it, they were going to lose the testimony that was given. All that brings us to back to Isaiah 30, because I think those are the major things there. When Jesus, when He became that government, when it says the government is upon His shoulders, that word government also means the dominion. He was carrying the dominion. When those Kohathites, they're not just Levites, but they're Kohathites. When they were carrying the dominion of God with them. The authority of God was being released everywhere that the ark went. When the ark wound up in the Philistines wound up giving it back. Why? Because everywhere the ark went, it caused something bad to happen to them. And they was like, I don't want any more to do with this. They placed it in next to their idol Dagon, and Dagon was flat on the floor with his face in the floor by morning. So they set him back up and roped it back up. And then the next morning, he was not only on the floor, but he was all broken in pieces. They decided that we need to get rid of this thing because it's not helping us. Because why? Because there's a dominion that is carried there. But there was a picture of the dominion that was carried with our Lord Jesus. So back in Isaiah 30, I got stuck here this morning. But here's why I got stuck. Verse 18. It said, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him. How blessed are those who long for Him. When you begin reading that, you begin living in that. Let it breathe in you for a moment. How blessed are those who long for the Lord. How blessed are those who wait upon Him. See, that word, when He's talking about the longing, that word for longing actually means to tie a knot. To knot together. So when we knot together, it's Father who's been waiting. It says He's been waiting to be gracious to me. He's been waiting to have compassion on me. He's been waiting. He's standing there waiting. And all He's looking for is someone who will return it to Him. I got caught up in the waiting and the longing. I got caught up in the letting Him just love on me and have compassion and show His love and His compassion. And that's when I've discovered that, you know, we lost track of where we were. Because He's designed this place as a place of overflow. It's His desire to be with us. It's His desire to draw us near. He's already positioned Himself and He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Hallelujah. So just shift for a moment and receive. Father, I just release the overflow. I just release overflow into the lives, into the hearts, into the mind. I release overflow right now into their hearts and minds. I release overflow into their systems within, Lord, into every system within that would try to block out, everything that would try to stop out. I just release an overflow into their heart, Father, because, Lord, I thank you that you're an abundant God who is gracious. And he's waiting and drawing near. You've already drawn near, Lord. I thank you that you're positioning them to draw near to you. So we just release the overflow into their heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, there's a group of people that he can release the overflow to. There's a group of people he can release his best to. There's a group of people he's desiring to have and draw near to him. Those who will long for him, who will put it in their heart and give an openness to make room that he might come in. To make room that he can bring forth his graciousness, his compassion. So he tells us in repentance and rest that we are saved. And repentance and rest is our salvation. In quietness and trust is our strength. Our soul man wants to go running out and doing everything. It wants to position itself. It wants to move everything around. It wants to shift everything around us. It wants to touch everything around us. It wants to do it all for itself. But God says, that's not the one that I'm looking for. The one that I'm looking for is the one who will trust me. The one that I'm looking for is the one who'll stand in the quietness, stand in the place of assurance, stand where I can just begin to answer the call for them. Because when we're running willy-nilly from our soul, we're missing the point, and it's going to be us doing it and not God. But when God does it, it takes on a whole new dimension. He's looking to minister to you from his Spirit. He's looking to minister through you from his Spirit. He's not really needing all of your ingenuity, all of your intelligence. He's not really needing all those other giftings that we want to bring to him. He's only meaning, really wanting our trust. For us to be quiet and rest in his, in the assurance he can do it. See, at this moment of Isaiah 30, when Isaiah is speaking to this, the Israelites had already been carried off. Judah was facing and looking at the Assyrian king. The Assyrian king was already in the countryside taking down the other kingdoms around them. He was mowing down kingdoms like just everywhere they went. It was like this, you know, have you ever seen like locusts coming? Devouring everything in his path. All of Judah was now trying to grow and do what they've always done before, which was go back to Egypt. They're trying to go back to Egypt, and he's telling them, way back here, and even in verse 1, who rode to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who executed a plan, but not mine, make an alliance, but not of my Spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, who took refuge in the safety of Pharaoh. They were going back to bondage and oppression. They wanted to flee because they saw bondage and oppression as their safety place. Well, I'm telling you, we think, well, that's really, really strange, but at the same time, we do the same thing. How many times have we sought bondage or sought something that was a previous bondage as our safety place? You know, one more scoop of ice cream, one more drink. One more little toke. It don't matter what it is, but it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a familiar place and it's not God, it's the same thing. It's the same effect. It's the same oppression. Hallelujah. But he tells him, just put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. Because when you put your trust in me, I can release things that you can't even imagine. If you put your trust in me, I can be a blessing to you. When you put your trust in me and begin to heed those that I send to you to tell you what to do. Begin to heed the prophet who comes to you. Begin to heed the Holy Spirit who speaks to you. Because when we begin to heed the prophet, we begin to heed the Holy Spirit. Now we're coming into an alignment that releases the power of God. Remember, I told you that in this moment, Israel has already been carried off, and Judah is about to be carried off, or could be carried off any moment, it seems. But they get a new king. His name's Hezekiah. And Hezekiah begins to raise up the standard of the Lord. He begins to tear down the altars, and he begins to reshape the landscape, and he begins to bring back the things of God, and begin to talk to the people and declare over the people, this is the God that you're going to serve. And he doesn't give them a choice. They begin to serve God. They begin to look back to God. Because they're looking back to him. Some things can begin to be positioned to be happening. So the king of Assyria, he gets close. He gets in the neighborhood. He goes to Lachish and destroys Lachish. And Hezekiah gets a little unsettled in his soul. His soul gets involved in the process. And so he does what he does. Because before he had been resisting the king of Assyria, he said he wouldn't serve him. Then he says, you know what? I made a mistake. You can, let me give you a scripture for that. 2 Kings 18. He begins to say, I made a mistake. Just go there real quick. We'll come back here. See, in order to understand some of these stories, you have to go through, because it's woven in between the different places that you can go. 2 Kings 18, verse 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And then King Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king and says, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. So the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver which was found in the house and in the treasuries of the king's house. He emptied his bank account trying to buy this guy off. It's an action of the soul. And oftentimes when a bully shows up, we'll give them whatever it is they want. Just don't beat me up. Just don't hit me again. That's what he's basically doing. He emptied it all out. Why? Because he allowed his soul to control what he was doing. He allowed his soul to get involved, and his soul had a response. And it's like, whatever it takes, let's get this thing away from me. Hallelujah. So, but not the end of the story. Flip with me to Isaiah 37. So guess what? The bully didn't go away. He said, I got all your silver. I got some of your gold. What else can I have? So he came right back. That's what happens when we try to answer it with our soul. The soul doesn't have a way to release and get the thing out of the way. But the Spirit does. I can tell you that during this last little while here, I've been learning. I've been seeing some things happen in the Spirit, because I've just been taking and I've been loving on people in the Spirit, and I've been loving on situations in the Spirit, and I've been listening, Lord, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And when I do that, I can tell you within 5 minutes, my phone goes off with a text or a phone call, and it's resolved. I didn't do anything but pray. I'm sitting in my prayer chair. I haven't moved. I haven't done anything. I haven't called anybody. I haven't contacted anything. But the situation gets fixed. Why? Because the Spirit can do things that we can't. So Isaiah 37, verse 14. is where I'm going to go here in just a minute. But what happens is Hezekiah then gets a letter from this Assyrian king. And this letter, the Assyrian king is insulting both him and God. And it's saying basically that, you know, we've wiped out all the other people and none of their gods protected them. What makes you think your God's going to protect you? Hezekiah gets an idea. As we can see here in verse 14, Hezekiah goes and takes that letter, and because Isaiah, actually, the prophet, gave him the idea. Okay, so Isaiah spoke to him and said, you know, take that letter and go before the Lord. Hezekiah does just that. Verse 14, Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it and went up to the house of the Lord, spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, thou art the God, thou alone, all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast heaven, made heaven and earth. Incline thy ear. And he goes on. And he's lifting up this situation, but he's lifting it up not as out of his need, but he's lifting it up and saying, God, this is not only an affront to your people of Israel, the people of Judah, but it's an affront to you. What are you going to do about it? In other words, now he's shifting from answering it with the soul to answering it with the spirit. He's shifting it into the spirit. And he's shifting it in the spirit. And as he shifts it in the spirit, there's an answer that comes back. And it says, verse 33, therefore says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come up before it with a shield nor throw up a mound against it. By the way that he came, the way that they shall return, and he shall not come to the city. The other thing he also said is that he would actually die by the sword, but not there. And so then, verse 36, we see the result of activating the Spirit. So the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians, and when the men arose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. They were all dead. 185,000. In one night, a whole army was wiped out. There was nothing that in the natural they could have done in years of fighting to wipe out that whole army. But in one moment, because he decided to lift it up to God, one moment because he decided, I'm going to move out of the operation of the soul and I'm going to move into the operation of the spirit. I'm going to release the spirit of God into the situation. And when he did, God responded. Situations changed. Situations resolved. And so, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. It came about as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons killed him. I'm going to leave out those names. Killed him with a sword and escaped to the land of Arat. And Ershadan became king. Everything that the Lord said was accomplished. Everything that the Lord said was going to go, was going to happen, came forward. Why? Because he chose to move in the Spirit. He chose to move according to the pattern that God had set. He chose to move because the Lord said, if you'll just be still, if you'll just be still, quit trying to run off to Egypt. Don't go back to the old thing. Don't go back to the bondage, whatever that was. But if you'll just be still and be with me and allow me to deal with the situation for you and allow my spirit to begin to deal with the situation for you, it'll take care of everything. Hezekiah lived out his days in peace. Even though Israel was carried off, Judah didn't get carried off till another generation. Why? Because one man stood on the voice of the prophet and said, I'm going to stand with God and I'm going to let God do what he wants to do in my life. I'm going to let God release what he wants to release over my life. And then we're going to stand. And because of this, God was able to do something so spectacular that no one could have anticipated it up front. Sometimes we're facing situations that look desperate. That usually causes us to want to get our soul all involved up in it. We want to get all involved and meshed in it. Because we're getting enmeshed in it, it keeps his hand from being able to release what he has to release. So if we'll just take an inspiration here and say, God, whatever it takes, I want to get well. Whatever it takes, I want to be whole. Whatever it takes, I want to quit enacting things out of my soul and acting things out of my flesh. I want to begin to empower them through the Spirit. It's His Spirit that is released. It's His Spirit that overcomes. It's His Spirit. It's the Spirit of God being released. It's the Spirit of God that He puts in you. When it begins to be released, that it overcomes whatever is standing in its way. The impossible becomes possible. We stand in the assurance of who God is. The ark represented all that they could know about who God was. When we stand in the assurance of who God is, today we can know more. We can know Him personally. We can get involved with Him. We can get caught up with Him. We can stand and begin to take our place, not underneath the situation, even when it's a good thing. See, there was nothing wrong with wanting to step into the light, to step into the omega zone. That's a perfect thing. That's something that's God ordained. God is ordaining that for this body. He's ordaining it for us as a group, and He's ordaining it for the body of Christ. He's looking for us to shift into a knowledge of Him that goes outside what has already been known, that goes outside what has been normal and accepted, but it becomes into something that God has already set up so He can begin to release His best. In order for us to see the things He's calling for us to do, we have to come in ascendancy above it, not below it, above it. We come above it by coming into agreement with Him. We come above it by stepping in and allowing the Spirit to minister through our heart, through our life. Hallelujah.
Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? We all do it. I mean, he had an army in front of him. He tried to buy him off. And then he went and ascended into the house of the Lord. And there he got God. He surrendered. Man, 185. Think about that. Think of the victory. 185,000 Assyrians wiped out. Not one sword was drawn. Not even an arrow was drawn, and God wiped an entire army out. That's the most incredible breakthrough probably in all of the Old Testament. And just incredible because he moved in this realm of the Spirit. And when I shared that message Sunday and I talked about the integration of the soul, sometimes God will, when he gives you an assignment, sometimes it's not even the negative thing is you're so overly excited over the assignment that, and the way he just downloads it and downloads it, it's the way you're trying to produce that assignment. And you get so overly involved in the process, you start driving into God. And from that position, that's what I was talking about, like this pulpit, for those who weren't here, was the assignment. And we're supposed to be standing on the top of it. But what I was actually doing, I saw Sunday morning, I was all wrapped up into it. I did a Sunday where I got all up involved and I had my legs and all wrapped up. And you get overly wrapped up into it and you have to de-integrate from that. Your soul has to be it has to be entangled, de-tangled from what you entangle. And sometimes you don't know you entangle because you're still doing the things of God. But the difference is, it has to be done by the Spirit. And in the Holy of Holies, your soul is not sanctioned to operate there. Your flesh is not sanctioned, but your spirit, under the Spirit of God, is sanctioned to operate there. And that's what Hezekiah, he was sanctioned to go in there and release that in the Spirit. Amen? And so I titled this Journey into the Father yesterday, Step by Step, because it actually, how to move in the Father. But what we really talked about the whole time is how to detangle the soul. And the process of laying that man down and moving into the Father, spirit to spirit. We learn to do this. We're going to learn how to move mountains, unprecedented mountains. This is what God's training for now, to do this Hezekiah thing. Amen? To move into the Father's courts, the temple, the house of the Father, and move and extinguish entire armies in the spirit. Amen? It's that kind of power that God is training us for. We have to learn how to move and what's sanctioned, what's not sanctioned. And you cannot figure that out in your natural mind. You got to be close to Him. You have to read the signs. You have to learn how to put that old man and the soul down. Because He'll try to integrate even in the good things and the best things of God. And God won't do it if the soul is present. He will not. He'll wait you out. Amen? If we learn to move that old man out of the way, move the soul out of the way, move the things you cannot see, when we learn to do this and start moving face to face with the Father, spirit to spirit with the Father, we're going to see the Father move unprecedented mountains in this hour. We're going to sit and watch Him do this. And not only watch Him, we're going to understand how He did it. What made that happen. And we can teach that. Amen? What an amazing message. Praise God. Let's give Him glory. Hallelujah. It's like Chuck pointed out there in the ark. Obed-Edom, he was a Levite. He was sanctioned to care. He was actually sanctioned to have the ark because he was a Levite. Kohathite. Yeah, so he was sanctioned to have that ark. So he was just blessed. That ark was blessed. When it was around heathen territory, nobody was blessed. Well, when God around the right people that was sanctioned, see, He's like the spirit of a man. When God said that, when they put that on that cart and had Uzzah, that's the soul. He's not sanctioned to be around it. You start touching it, things die, see. When you get your spirit in the things of God and the soul out of the way, we're going to start seeing the ark release its glory. Amen? It's going to release its power and its glory. Instead of hitting dead ends and running into stone walls, we're going to see the heavens open. Amen? All this administration is done in the Father. It's all done in the Father's rest, love, His glory, His grace. It's all done in the high places of God. That's why we must learn how to operate there. There's protocols there, and He's teaching us some the hard way, some the easy way. Amen? But He's teaching us how to operate into the protocol so we can see God move entire mountains out of the way. The word of the Lord is Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by what? My spirit, who art thou, great mountain, before this word, before this lampstand, you will become leveled ground. Amen? It doesn't matter how great the mountain is. It will level when we learn how to do this right. Amen. This is separating the men from the boys. Because I said this the other day. You can have breakthrough with your soul. But when you're dealing in the realm of the Holy of Holies, you cannot. Your soul cannot be present with that breakthrough. Amen. God's got to get it out of the way. That's why a lot of things that have not worked in your life. Just like Hezekiah trying to buy that army off. That was the easy way out, but it didn't work. Amen. Sometimes we have to go through the dead ends to find out what doesn't work. So we find out with God what does work. But the Lord spoke to me, He said, when you get it right, things are going to move. And they're going to move greatly. Amen. Praise God. Let's give Him glory. How He would spend so many months in one area. And then He would shift and spend so many months in another area. And it was building this prototype of how to approach Him. And I didn't realize that every one of those arenas, from the throne of grace to the union with the Lord, to the doorway first to come in, then the throne of grace, union with the Lord, the garden, every one of these things were for purpose. And every one of them, when they're put together and operating together, they create such a harmony. They put the soul down. They move the old man out of the way. They move the new man in position with the Lord. to administrate with the Father. And that's what's happening right now. It's the administration of the Father. Amen. And it's glorious. Here's what the Lord said. Said you should have in your believing be filled with all joy and peace in the process of believing. It should not be a drudge. If it's a drudge, you're out of position. You're trying to do it. If you're positioned, there's going to be joy, there's going to be peace, there's going to be rest, there's going to be patience, there's going to be hope that's constantly building into the faith that calls it to open. Amen? It's just amazing. Amazing. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We're learning how to carry this ark. Walk with it. We're learning how to walk in the realm of the glory, Father. We're learning how to administrate in the realm of the glory. You invite us to do so. You invite us into the glory. We just understand the protocol. Listen, I need you to understand something. When you're dealing with the presence of the Lord, there's a lot of churches have the presence of the Lord, but they create a sandbox out of it because they're very immature with the things of God. You cannot be immature with the things of God's glory. When you start removing into the glory realm, there has to be a maturity and an understanding of that arena. The protocols of dealing in the Father's arena, God is full, loving, merciful, but He wants to teach us how to do this properly. Amen? You just don't run up in there. You learn how to approach that realm. Amen? But once you learn, I'm just telling you, for the last 3 or 4 days, this has been amazing what He taught me through this process. There is a fluidness and there's a harmony that results, and you can move all the way up into the Father and carry the things of God, and it results every day in the same thing: joy, peace, love, fullness, rest, hope, glory. And the promise is beginning to build inside to the full release of it. Amen? It's awesome. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing, this training, this amazing path you put us on, Father, this amazing journey we've been on to administrate with you in the high places. And now you're moving us into the affairs of the earth to move mountains, to move mountains. You've moved them from our life. Now you're administrating, teaching us the administration of the kingdom in the earth. And things are shifting now and changing and transforming. And we're going to see great, 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 great mountains. I hear the Spirit of the Lord said, this last day army will be like no other. Says the Spirit of the Lord, they'll be trained like no other. They will function and operate like no other. They will operate from a seated position. The plumb line will be dropped out from the heavens, and the earth will line up with what drops out from the heavens. You cannot align this earth from the earth, says the Spirit of the Lord. It must be aligned from above. Only those things that come from above can align the earth with the purposes of God.